Hey, good afternoon. This is Pastor James Moffitt, Senior Pastor of Church Unlimited here in Indio, California, and we want to welcome you to Your Limitless Life. We're so glad that you're able to join us tonight, and we pray that God is just moving mightily in your life. And just to let you know, if you would, just let us know where you're watching from and just say, hey, in the comments, and we're able to see you live, and we're going to be able to answer you live. If you have any questions concerning what we're going to be talking about tonight, or if you have a prayer request, we would be honored to be able to pray with you as well. And we're looking forward to the testimonies of God answering our prayer. So we are so thankful for each and every one of you that are watching tonight. So I want to talk to us about being free indeed. Being free indeed. And I'm going to begin reading in John chapter 8 and verse 36. John chapter 8 and verse 36. Hallelujah. It's very familiar scripture you may or may not know. Hey, Jenny, love you. So glad you're watching. And we're in John chapter 8 and verse 36. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Or in the King James Version says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, is free indeed. So if Jesus came to set us free, what did he come to set us free from? He came to set us free from sin. He came to set us free from the sins that so easily beset us. Hebrews 12:1, it says that. That word beset literally means entangled or ties us up. So sin ties us up. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. Hallelujah. Sister Pat, God bless you. Sister Louisa, God bless you. So glad you're watching. Proverbs chapter 5 and beginning at verse 21. Sister Connie, amen. God bless you. So glad that you guys are on with us tonight. Remember, if you're watching, if you could just let us know what you're watching and where you're watching from, we would be so appreciative of that. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, for the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path that he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. Listen to that. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. Sin ties us up, but Jesus sets us free. Sin ties us up, but Jesus sets us free. Excuse me. And you might be watching tonight, and you may not be in right relationship with God, or you may have once lived for the Lord, and you find yourself, you may have fallen back in some sins and some habits and some things that you know that God has once delivered you from. But by tonight, we pray, and by the power of God's word that never fails, that always produces that God sends it forth to do, that the Bible says that today is the day of your salvation. And we're praying, and I want you to realize this, that we pray, and when we pray, the Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, or it produces great results. When we pray, we're not just throwing hope up to heaven and hoping that God hears us. When we pray, we know that God hears us, and if he hears us, he will answer us. And so if you find yourself away from the Lord for some reason, we're going to pray with you. We're going to come into agreement with you tonight. And the Bible says today is the day of your salvation. If you find yourself tangled back up in things that God once delivered you from, that same power that delivered you before will deliver you again in Jesus' mighty name. In the opening scripture that we read in John chapter 8, where it says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus, right before that, he said a slave is not a permanent part of the family. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Then he goes on, because he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees there, he said, you are descendants of Abraham, but you want to kill me. He said, because there is no room in your heart for my word. There is no room in your heart for my word. So part of being free is making sure that we have the word of God on the inside of us. Part of being free is to be in, to ensure that we have God's word on the inside of us. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. The Bible says that I hide. This is David speaking. He said, "I hide your word in my heart, so that I will not sin against thee." John, according to chapter 1, is Jesus. John said in chapter 1 that Jesus is the Word of God. His Word is truth. So let's look at John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And I'm just giving us a foundation of Scripture here. So I pray that you're following along. Sister Jessica, God bless you. We love you so much. John chapter 8. And verse 32, and this is Jesus speaking, and he said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus will set you free, and his word will keep you free. You have to understand that, you know, so many, just like when the Lord was standing in front of Pilate, and he said, "What is truth?" And the truth was standing right there in front of him. The truth is not an abstract concept. It is not something that is that changes with the laws of men. It's not something that can be legislated. It is not something that changes over time. The truth is not an ideal. The truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And you will know the truth. That means that you will know Jesus Christ, that you will have him in your heart, and he will live in your heart. The word of God will be in your heart, and that truth will set you free. So what is the importance of God's word to us and in our life? And I can tell you the importance of God's word is this. The more word you know, the more freedom you walk in. The more word you know, the more freedom that you walk in. I don't want to stay here too long, but I really want to make this point tonight. I was getting questions on theological foundations of what it is that we believe from Christians because we may not know the word like we should, and all of us have different levels of our understanding, and we all know the word in different ways. But if we call ourselves believers, and if Jesus Christ is the word, we should at least be equated with the word of God and know what it is that we believe. And the more word you know, the more freedom that you walk in. You know, when Jesus was challenged by the devil, he was tempted and tried in all ways yet without sin. Jesus didn't use his godly powers to fight off the devil and the temptations of the devil. He used the word of God. And whether or not you realize it or not, the devil knows the word, and he uses that word. He'll use that word, and he'll use it in such a way that he will confuse you if you're not fully understanding, and you don't know truly what the word of God says. He will take that word and he will twist it, and it'll sound religious, or it'll sound theological, or it'll sound deep to you, and you go, "Well, maybe that must be it. If that's true, then you know that must be it." But you got to know, just like you got to know God for yourself, you got to know his word for yourself. And so every time that the enemy, that the devil tried to come to Jesus and say, "If you are the Son of God," because the devil is trying to challenge you in your sonship, in your daughtership, even whether or not you know you're saved or not, even whether or not, because, and let me just say this, you may get up and not feel saved, in quotes, you may not feel saved, but if you haven't sinned, you haven't done anything wrong, you know by the word of God that you're saved, and you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. The enemy is going to come in, and he's going to try to question who you are. He's going to try to question who God is in your life and whether or not God is real or relevant in your day. And so just like he did with Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. If you are the Son of God, Jesus said, but Jesus answered not with his godly power. He answered out of the book of Deuteronomy, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we are to truly live for God, if we are to truly be free sons and daughters of God, then we have to pay attention and know what comes out of the mouth of our God. What is it that he said? People say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Yes, he speaks to you today. This word is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Every book, every jot, every tittle of this book is alive. It is God-breathed and God-inspired from Genesis to Revelation. And this is God speaking to you right where you are. If you do not read your Bible on a daily basis, not just out of some kind of religious exercise, but to know God more. Paul said, to know him and the power of his might and the fellowship of his suffering. The more word you know, the more freedom that you walk in, and the less that the devil can try to entangle you in his lies and his deception. So Jesus will set you free, and his word will keep you free. The entrance of God's word brings light and it brings clarity, but the devil is the author of confusion. And the devil is the author of entanglement. The devil wants to make you confused about the Bible and what God says. But God's word brings revelation, and it brings light and understanding, and it brings wisdom. So, you know, there's a lot of people. God bless you, Brother Freddie. So good to see you. Greetings from Guatemala. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and thank you for letting us know where you're watching from. We love you so much. Amen, Jenny. I know you do. I read what you post on Facebook as well. So the enemy doesn't want you to know the word of God, because he doesn't want you to know who he is. And he doesn't want you to walk in the freedom that God has given to you. God's word brings revelation to the simple. God's word doesn't make you confused unless it is a dead letter to you. It makes you see things more clearly, and it gives you more wisdom. The more Bible you know, the more wisdom you have. And you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that say, well, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. But even the Word of God in the book of James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. And the Lord will find without fault, will give unabraded. That's a new King's English word for without finding fault. And I'll give it liberally to you. And so if you need help, that's why, you know, I don't... You know, concerning the Word of God, anytime that you open up His Word, one of the things that you should do, this is what I do, this is what I did this morning, before I opened up the Word of God and began to read, I didn't just jump in and just start reading where I left off before. I spent time in the Word, and I said, God, touch my finite mind, this limited mind, and Lord, as you did for the disciples after your resurrection, you spoke to them, you touched them, and you opened up their mind to understand the Scriptures. And I said, Lord, as you have done that for them, do that for me as well. Open up this mind and help me, and open up these Scriptures to me, so that I'm not just reading a dead letter, but this word to me is feeding me. It's bread and health to my life, and it is speaking to me right where I am, and it is empowering me, and it is allowing me to walk in the freedom of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 in the King James Version. Listen to what it says. God, who made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, God bless you, Sister Abby. So glad you're watching. In other words, if you try, I don't know if you've ever like came across somebody who seemed like they had a lot of Bible knowledge, but they had no kind of any kind of spirituality next to them. I don't know if you've ever tried to watch the History Channel and they try to explain the life of Jesus, or any of those channels like I don't know if A&E did a special or whatever, but a lot of times they will try to explain away the things and the miracles of the Bible, and they try to intellectualize it. They try to make it, they try to explain it from a humanistic mindset, and that'll never happen. The Bible says that if you or and I are not in relationship with God, there is a veil over this word and no man can understand it. But one one turn to the Lord, hallelujah, the Bible said that that veil is removed and this word becomes alive to us. This word is not a dead letter, but when the Spirit of God and this word come together, it becomes a life force that sets you free. That this word is no longer a word that is just dead to you and boring, and it's just something that, oh, I just got to read this and because this is what God wants me to do and I want God to be pleased with me. But when you understand that this word carries with it in itself the very breath of God. This word is alive. This word is powerful. This word is so strong that it gets down like a sword, even to the very recesses of who we truly are, not who we are pretending to be, not who we are would even like the world to think we are. But it is so sharp and it is so powerful. It even begins to read the very thoughts and the intents of our heart, why we do what we do and why we say what we say, you know, and it gets down to the real recesses of who we are. And that is a freeing word. This is not a dead letter, but when the Spirit and the Word come together, it is a powerful life force that'll set you free. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, the words that I speak to you, the words that Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, for this Bible to truly work for us, we can't have one and not the other. We have to have them both flowing together. And this, like I said before, this word, this life-changing word will set us free. Now I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 in the King James Version. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And another word for liberty, which it literally means freedom. Everywhere that the Spirit of God is, freedom resides. Everywhere that the Spirit of God shows up, freedom breaks out. Freedom is the result. And the Spirit of God has the power to make us free indeed. Whom the Son sets is free indeed. Hallelujah. If I wasn't a Holy Ghost-filled preacher, I would tell you and I would teach about the power of good decisions and the power of making good decisions. But if you're watching and you're struggling and you're bound by any addiction or you're living a life that seems to be up and down and you're trying in your own strength, I can't tell you how many times that hey, Cousin April, God bless you from Indiana. God bless you. So good to see you. Thanks for watching on Facebook. So here's the thing. I've come across so many people that have said, I'm just trying, Pastor. I'm trying to live for God. I'm just doing my best to live for God. Do you realize that God never told you to try your best to live for Him? He never one time asked you to try to live for God all by yourself. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He said, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And so when you're bound by sin, you realize you can't make right choices on your own. When you're addicted, when you even try in your own strength and your own power, you realize, hey, Sister Jessica Evans, God bless you. So you, even in your own power or your own strength, you realize I can't do this in my own strength. You know why? Because it was never God's intention to save us and to leave us on our own down here in our own strength, trying to be good enough to be able to live for Him and to make it to heaven. God knew on our own we weren't able to do it. That's why the Bible says with man it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so God never intended us to live in the down here and just say a few words and to accept Him into our heart and then live and get kicked around by life until we go to heaven. But God has come. He has come not to leave us alone, but He has come to empower us. The Spirit comes to be with us, to be on us and in us, to empower us to live a victorious life and to give us a life of freedom. Hallelujah. We need power. We need power. Jesus said that. He said, behold, I give you power. That word power means authority. to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I want you to, I don't know how that hits your spirit, but I want you to understand that he's not just talking about scorpions and those like in the physical, like a spider or a bug or something. He's literally talking about demon power. He's literally talking about the power of the devil and his kingdom. And this is, listen to what Jesus said. He said, I didn't just save you. I've given you power. Power, authority over all the power of the enemy. So the power that God has given us is over every power that the devil has. And he said over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And then nothing shall by any means harm us. And I want you to understand, look, in Old Testament example, the Bible says with Samson, I don't know if you know who Samson is. If you know who Samson is or whatever, you can probably put that strong arm emoji up or whatever in the comments. But Samson, the Bible said that when the enemy, the Philistines, were trying to come, Samson was a judge of Israel. And so they were trying to find out what was the source of his strength. What was the source of his strength? And I want you to understand, the enemy is trying to come after the source of your strength. It is not your strength. It is the strength of God. The enemy is trying all in every way possible and imaginable to try to come and to figure out what it is that causes you to be an overcomer. And so he's trying to get you to lay down, amen, to get you to lay down the source of your strength. And so the Bible said that when they came and they tried to bind, remember what sin does. Sin binds up. They came and they bound Samson with new ropes, they said. But then the Bible said that the Spirit of God, listen today. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson after they tried to bind him with those new ropes. And the Bible says that as the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, those new ropes broke as if they were burned, and just like they were just regular thread that was just burned. It was easily broken. Why? Because the power of God had fallen upon him. And so powerfully, that thing that tried to bind him up was easily broken because of the power of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know if you know that scripture or you know that story or not. In the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the idol of King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar said, "We're gonna throw you into the fiery furnace if you do not bow." And they said, "King, listen to us. Our God is able." They didn't say, "In my own strength, I'm able." They said, "Our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down." See, the enemy is just trying to get you to bow. He's just trying to get you to concede. He's just trying to get you to give in. But like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by the power of God, we say we will not bow down to when the devil plays the music of this world. We will not bow. We will not bow. We will stand and see the salvation of our God. And so they said, we are not careful to answer you, O King. We will not bow. And so the king, the Bible says, listen to what he did. He bound them up. He bound them up and threw them into the fiery furnace. The Bible says that they that threw him in died instantly from the heat of the flame. But when they fell in, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the flames, they fell into the fire. The Bible said that everything that tried to bind them burned off. Hallelujah. But they were not burned. Let me just tell you and remind you, when you're set on fire, there you can't catch fire. When the fires of this world, the things that are trying to come up against you, cannot come up against you. Anything that's trying to bind you will fall off of you just as easy as it did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible said that when the king looked in, he looked to his advisor that was standing beside him and said, "Didn't we just throw in three?" And he said, "Yes, O king, we threw three in." But he said, "But I look into the fire and I see four, and the fourth that is there looks like the Son of God. And I want you to understand that it may feel like you're going through the fire right now, but I want you to understand nothing is binding you, and Jesus is with you. He's in that fire, in that place with you. And in that fire, they had a Holy Ghost meeting, and I believe they were dancing around, not bound up, not just depressed, not downtrodden. They were dancing around in freedom. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And there was not even the fire that was turned up seven times hotter could even cause them or even harm them. Because nothing shall by any means harm you. In the New Testament, Paul and Silas, the Bible said, were thrown into the deepest part of the prison. And they were all chained and shackled. Well, the Bible said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to the Lord. And all the prisoners heard them. So it wasn't just a quiet reflection. You know, it wasn't quiet prayer. It wasn't them. They literally were opening up their mouth and they were praying. And I don't believe they were just small, cute prayers. I don't believe that they were, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, or God is great, God is good. And I'm not making light of those prayers, but they weren't elementary prayers. I believe that they were praying to God. I believe they were praying to their God with power. And I believe they were probably praying in the Spirit. And they begin to sing praises to God. Because one of the ways to let God know that you trust Him, that you trust Him with your life, that you know that He'll never leave you, that He's with you, and that He has good things for you and not evil to bring you to give you a future and a hope. One of the ways to prove to God that you trust Him fully is after you pray to God, you begin to sing praises to God. And in the middle of what you fully don't understand, that thing could be trying to bind you up. That thing could be trying to bring you down. That thing could be trying to bring you into a dark place. But lift your hands, amen, in the name of Jesus, and begin to sing God praise, just like Paul and Silas did. And the Bible says, and the foundation of that, look at the confining place, the foundation of that confining place begin to shake. And the Bible says, not just Paul and Silas's chains fell off, but every chain that was holding every prisoner in that prison cell fell off. Hallelujah. And every door that was closed, every confining door that was closed was open. Why? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And where the Lord is, that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. Hallelujah. I want to look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Sister Connie. This is Jesus speaking. And now, he said, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power, with power from heaven. In the King James, it says, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So Jesus didn't just come to save us so that we can get to heaven, but he wants to empower us so that we could live victorious here on earth by giving us power by the infilling of the Holy Spirit and with fire. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 11. This is John the Baptist. This is John the Baptist speaking here. He said, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to carry, to even be his slave or to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Hallelujah. So I love this. I love this. What John the Baptist is saying here. John the Baptist, first of all, I don't know if you realize it or not, but he was the one that got to point out Jesus. He was the forerunner that was ushering in the Jesus movement, or ushering in the coming of the Lord. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so as he was baptizing people, the Bible literally says, if you read it, the Bible literally says that John was kept baptizing so that he would find out truly which one was the Son of God. Because he said, because God had told him, when you see the Spirit of the Lord descend like a dove and remain, that one is the Messiah. So John kept baptizing people, waiting until he would come into contact with Jesus. So listen to what John said. He said, "I baptize you with water unto repentance, but there is one coming after me that is greater than me." You have to realize what he said. It's not just you. There's one coming that is greater. There is one coming that is greater. There is one coming that is greater. Hallelujah. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's not just us by ourselves trying to live right, but one more powerful than me has come to empower me to live an overcoming life. Hallelujah. And to set me free. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we continually stay on fire for God, it will burn all the chaff out from our lives. I want to stay here because this is so important for you to understand. There's even so many people that are Christians that are living life just trying to make it. You're living life still struggling with habits. You're living life just trying, you know, your hardest not to sin and to live the right way. What is the resolution for that? What is the answer to that? God gives us the answer for that. God never intended us just to get saved and that was it. God said, I'm sending you the promise of the Father. I'm sending you the promise of the Father. Look at what he said. There's one greater that is coming. There is one greater, hallelujah, that is coming. That's why Jesus told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus never once told us to do anything for the kingdom until we caught fire. Jesus never once told us, go out and try to do things for me until you are endued first with power. And that's what John was saying. He's saying, one is coming after me that is greater than me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost, and he has his winnowing fork with him. And you want to know how to get out that extra out of your life, those things that keep trying to hang on, that thing that keeps trying to bind you up, that thing that you keep struggling with year after year. And you keep saying, God, will you take this out of my life? You know how to get that thing out of your life? Burn that thing up. Burn that thing up through the power of the Holy Ghost. Get set on fire. Get filled with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That thing that is trying to hang on your life, or that is trying to bind you up, that thing is the chaff that the Bible is talking about here. When you get set on fire, hallelujah, Sister Mildred, God bless you. When you get set on fire, when the fire of God touches your life, when you come in contact with fire, how can we not burn ourselves? When that's why we, you know, that even the Old Testament experience, when the burning bush, when Moses came into the burning bush, he said, take your sandals off because you're standing on holy ground. This is a holy thing. And so he began to minister him and tell him all the things that he was going to do. And Moses said, I can't do this on my own. And he said, I'm not sending you by yourself. The power of my name is going with you. That's Old Testament. And he gave him a rod of authority. That's the authority that God has given us. He said, behold, I give you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has never told you in your own strength to try to overcome sin. God has never told you in your own strength to try to just in your own willpower that you can do this thing. You can't do it without the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Ghost has come. That's why Jesus said, it's better for you that I leave, so that another like me can come, so that the Comforter can come, so that the fire of God can come from heaven, and he can burn out all that chaff out of your life. Hallelujah. All things that are trying to bind us up, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. Let's look at this. This is an example. Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. Listen to this. This is so good. This is also Jesus speaking here. Praise the Lord. It says, let me illustrate this further. Jesus is literally talking to the Pharisees here, because the Pharisees are trying to say that Jesus cast out demons by the power of demons. And Jesus said, any kingdom that is divided against itself will not stand. So if that was the case, that the enemy is working against himself and actually benefiting the kingdom of heaven, and you know that's not true. But listen to what the Lord said in the 27th verse of Mark chapter 3. Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Let me read that again. Let me illustrate this further, Jesus said. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus was literally telling the Pharisees that the only way that you could do what he was doing is that someone had to be more stronger than the demon that he was dealing with. That someone had to be more stronger and have more authority than the devil that was trying to come up against his line. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, unless one be stronger, then he has to be able to bind up that strong man and plunder his house. That's why the Bible says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. When we come through freedom in Jesus' name, amen. When we come and get empowered with the power of the Holy Ghost, we become ministers. We become vessels of God to wear meat for the master's use. Hallelujah. And he sends us. He said, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. But he doesn't send us in our own strength. He sends us empowered, endued with power from on high. And we go forward. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so anything that we come up against, we are stronger than that entity that's trying to come up against our life. You are stronger than what's trying to bind you. You are stronger than that sin. You are stronger than that habit. You are stronger than that addiction. You are stronger than that thing that is trying to come up against you. That thing will burn out of your life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I hope that makes sense to you. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and I'm almost finished. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Hallelujah. In the King James Version, it says, finally, my brethren. But listen to what it said. This is Paul speaking. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel saying, this is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in your own strength, not in your own ability, not in your own talent, not in your own, be strong in the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel saying, this is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. None of us can live this life on our own and in our own strength, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, and this is probably a familiar scripture. That's right. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. This is a very familiar. It says, be not drunk with wine because that is debauchery, but be ye being filled. Be ye being filled. That's literally what it means. Hallelujah, Sister Mildred, by his spirit, not by your might, not by your own strength, not by your ability. every addiction, everything that would try to come up, everything that is trying to bind us, all those sins that it easily are in trying to entangle us by the Spirit of the living God is burned off of our life. All that chaff is removed by the power of God in Jesus' mighty name. So that's what Paul said. Don't be drunk with wine. That's a counterfeit. But be ye being filled. Be ye being filled, but be filled with the Spirit. That's literally what that translation means. Be ye being filled. That means don't just get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost once and just say, well, I got filled in 1975. It wasn't that great. But it's a continual filled and be filled. Filled and be filled. Filled and be filled, continually bringing the cup, your cup up to the Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. It's by continue. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. It's continually going to the source of fire. It's continually, our God is a consuming fire. And he fills all things everywhere with himself. He's a filler to overflow. And it's continually accessing God, going boldly before the Lord and saying, God, today, I know you touched me yesterday. I know you filled me yesterday, but I need a fresh touch today. I need you to set me on fire today. I need to walk in your power today. I don't know what's ahead of me, but you do. But I need the power of God to be in me and on me. For whatever is ahead today, that I walk as you send me out as a vessel yielded and meet for the Master's use. So whatever it is that you are sending me into, God, you have empowered me to overcome. And so, God, I thank you for that. And so Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, if every day we would get up and pray in the Spirit, not in your understanding. Pray in the Spirit until you felt the anointing come upon your life. He said, no man would backslide. Nobody would ever fall away and return back to their old way of life again. And in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13, this is literally talking about the temple. But the Bible says this, Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13, the fire shall be kept burning. The fire shall be kept burning, and the fire shall never go out. The fire shall never go out. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God today. And I don't know what to do other than to preach messages like this and to teach messages like this on Facebook. But we can't go and continually having preachers preach a weak, ineffective gospel where we can just say, think a good thought and there's power in a changed mind and all of these things. And those are good things, but they are superficial things. And I'm telling you, anybody that has truly been bound by sin or has any habits in their life knows that within your own strength, a changed mind, you can say all day long, today I'm not doing that anymore. And you feel the power of that addiction that tries to come back on, or that thing that continually trips you up or comes to try to entangle you and bind you up. Your willpower is not going to get it done. 12 steps or what? How it's not going to work for you. The only thing that can really set you free is Jesus Christ, who is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. And only by the fire of God, through the power of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, can set you free from all those things that are trying to bring you down, so that you just don't walk as a nominal American Christian with lifeless and no power, but you walk with everything that God says that is yours, that you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The blinded eyes shall see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the spirit, the demons will be cast out. Jesus said in the book, I believe it's in the book of Luke, he said this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captive free. God knew, the Lord knew, the Spirit of God comes on a life so that the Spirit of God that's on that life and in that life is powerful enough to set those that are around them free as well. preachers of the gospel. So you're a preacher. Preachers of the gospel carry the anointing of God to set the captive free. We cannot no longer go and be ineffective in this world and just preach good humanistic thoughts and good feelings to try to change people's lives. This world is lost and is on its way to a devil's hell, and good thoughts aren't going to get him there. But the only thing that can change a life is a life that is set free by the power of Jesus Christ and through the infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire. We have to take this thing seriously. And even as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot just get into, like I said, nominal Christianity where we just do our thing, go to church every once in a while and think that the devil's going to leave us alone. The devil will harass you as long as you don't know who you are. And he'll get as close, just like he tried with Job in two covenants ago. When the Lord said, "Have you observed my servant Job?" to the devil, he said, "How can I?" He said, "Yeah, I noticed him. But because of you bless him, that's why he loves you." And he said, "Well, go ahead and try to do whatever you want to him." And the devil goes, "You know I can't touch him, for there is a fiery hedge of protection around him." And just like that was two covenants ago, and we are under better promises, under a better covenant, that there is a fiery hedge of protection that is around you, that if the enemy comes in one way, he will be scattered seven ways. And it is not unbiblical for you to get challenged, but it is unbiblical for you to lose. For God himself said, "I have spoken. They will come against you, but they will not win. I, the Lord, will destroy them for you." That is the God that we serve, and he is the God of fire, and he is the God of power, and he has not left us down here to suffer in our sin and in our shame and just to try to be good in our own humanistic strength. This is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. So a final word: be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We don't cower down to the devil. We're not victims. We're victors. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And so that power, that boldness, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It'll quicken this mortal body, and we won't have to live a life of ups and downs, but we will go from strength to strength, faith to faith, and glory to glory, and faith to faith in Jesus' name. That's the life that we live in Jesus. And that's the life we live when we do as the Lord has commanded us. Be ye being filled continually with the power of the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, praise the Lord. I pray that this word has blessed you. Be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Be free indeed. And I want to pray. If you're here, and I don't know if you know the Lord as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you prayed a prayer, but you went on back living the same way that you did before, and you thought that everything was okay. But no, the Bible says when you turn, you got to turn to the Lord. You got to turn to the Lord, and you depart away from sin, and you live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord, and the Lord empowers you to do so. So I want to pray with you. If you're watching on this live stream, or now, or maybe in the future that you're watching on this live stream, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to pray with you right now. And if you will mean this word, the Bible says, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. So I want you to, these words are not going to save you, but if you believe these and be sincere in your heart and repeat these words after me, you will be saved. So I'm going to ask you, if you need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart, pray this prayer after me. And then if you can let us know that you got saved, and you could type it in. Hallelujah. I'm a filled believer. Amen. If you could just type in and let us know that you got saved by putting up maybe Sister Connie, we're going to pray for your daughter's salvation. Ambria, praise the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I confess that I have sin in my life and I need a Savior. I could do nothing about it. That's why I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. I believe that you died for me, that your blood was shed to destroy my sin. I receive the work of the cross, and I believe that you rose again just like you said, on the third day. And I receive the fullness of my forgiveness. And I declare now by faith that I am saved, that I am a son or I am a daughter of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, I say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to pray, but I also want to pray too, that if you're watching this broadcast right now and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, but you've said, you know what? I'm tired of living this life and struggling. I'm trying so hard to be a Christian and I can't seem to do it. You're right. You can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody can do it. God never meant for us to live this life without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray. And first of all, I just want to, if there's any unforgiveness, you got to get that out. Get everything. And so what we're going to pray, that you just pray, God, just ready me now to receive. And if you need to receive the empowerment of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we're going to pray right now. And we're going to believe that even through this live broadcast, that the Holy Spirit would come and he would fall on you and you would begin to speak in other tongues and you would get filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire right where you are, right where you are. And that you would say, if you're just tired, I don't want to be a nominal, what we call an American westernized Christian. I want to be an on fire disciple for Jesus Christ. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and lift your hands and pray with me right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the promise that you have sent to us, the Holy Ghost. Glory to the living God. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you said that after we are saved, that this is the promise sent by the Father. Jesus, you are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, even as I pray through this broadcast, even as Paul went and Peter preached, and as he preached, the Spirit of the Lord fell on them and they began to speak in other tongues and to prophesy. Or as Paul laid hands, God, I can't lay hands on them personally, but Lord, stretch out your holy hand right now and lay hands on all those that would receive the Holy Ghost. As you promised, Lord, for all those that are yours, that you would empower them with the Holy Spirit and with fire, that they would live a victorious life, an overcoming life, and that all the chafe of their life, that thing that's been trying to bind them up, Lord, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And now, God, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, fill them now. Fill them to overflow. Fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, be filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we pray that you've been, that you felt the presence of God through the live stream, and that there are those that if you are not saved, that you are filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, Father, I thank you for Ambria, for Connie's daughter. And Lord, we pray that God, wherever she is right now, that you would touch her. Reach out, God, by your love, and draw her by your Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray, God, that you would send harvesters, laborers into that harvest field to speak to Ambria's heart even now. Lord, that everywhere that she went, she would be surrounded by people, Lord, that are telling her, do you know Jesus? Do you know the Lord? Are you saved? Do you know what Jesus can do for you? Do you know that Jesus has a plan and a purpose for your life? Lord, I pray, God, that you send one to plant the seed, to water. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to give the increase and that you're going to bring Ambria to salvation and that she's going to walk in the fullness and the purpose of God that you for her life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you too, Aunt Brenda. Thank you, Lord. Anything that you, any questions that you might have or any more prayer requests or anything over anything that you would want to talk about, or anything that's on your heart while we're here, if you would write that in the comments, we would sure be glad to either pray with you or answer the questions that may be on your heart. It doesn't even have to be about this message. It could just be concerning the Word of God in general, something that you have a question with or anything that's going on. Pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for salvation now. Thank you, Jesus. God, as it has even been heavy on my heart that all my family, that all of our family would be saved and come to the glorious knowledge of Jesus Christ and relationship with Him. And I believe, God, by faith, if I don't get the opportunity, Lord, that just like we were praying with Ambria, that you're going to send laborers, harvesters that will speak in their language where they are. Like Paul said, I've become all things to all men in order to save some. Send the one, Lord. Send the one, God, to bring Jenny's husband back, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I love you too, April. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you got to watch. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for our family. And if you could let them know or share this broadcast with them, or we have some other ones that they could watch, we pray it would be a blessing to them. But I love you. I love you so much. Tell Uncle Doug I love him very much. And I'm praying for him. And if you can, April, let him know that I love him and I'm praying for him, I'd appreciate it. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, Sister Jessica, the Bible says, and this is another thing, this is the powerful part of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, I heard the word of the Lord from behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You know, the choices that we make have to be God's choices. And one of the ways that it's easier to make God's choices is when you know His Word. Sister Maribel, I love you so much. God bless you. Thank you for watching. And so, right choices comes down to knowing what pleases the Lord, and right and you know those right and wrongs. And sometimes there are there's some gray areas, and I understand in your circumstances there's things. And especially when it comes with those types of things, it gets a little, murky sometimes. But that's where, again, the presence of the Lord brings light and it brings revelation. And so the more word we put in it, the more presence of God that we surround it with, the clearer our decisions become. And you'll feel a peace about it, too. When you go to make a decision, you won't feel any kind of anxiousness. You won't feel any kind of sort of like a grinding. You'll feel a peace about it. And that's one of those signs, the ways that you know the Holy Spirit is pleased with this decision. And He wants you to move forward and take that step. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. So your steps are already there, clearly marked by God. But we have to get in the flow of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the sons of God walk in the Spirit. The sons, meaning it's generic. Sons and daughters of God walk in the Spirit of God. And that's why it's so important for us to stay in the Spirit, stay in the flow. You know, being in the Spirit isn't just when you get a time to pray and when you get a time to be alone. Being in the Spirit is literally in your everyday life. You know, the anointing isn't made just for Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or whenever you go to church. Or like I said, even in your own prayer time, the anointing of God is supposed to work and break out in every area of our life. And that's God's will for you. But I'm proud of you, Jessica. You've already come a long way. And God's going to take you all the way into His complete will and purpose in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I love you, Jenny, so much. You're such a strength in my life as well. Anybody else, any other questions or comments or anything before we end the broadcast for tonight? And as you're maybe typing, if you could just share, and if you haven't subscribed already, either to our Facebook and our YouTube channel, whichever one that you watch, if you can go more predominantly, if you could go over to the other one and then like and subscribe that, that would help us as well. Because I know some of us are actually like, they like one, they have a preference of one usually over the other. But if you can do that, we would be so grateful for that. And to share this with your friends. I know all of you have so many friends and family. If you could share that with them, we would love that. Why? Because I'm, it's not obviously because I'm a great speaker by any means, but because we're trying to get this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word out to everybody we can, as many people as we possibly can. And this is also a good witnessing tool for you, because some of the subjects that we talk about, even if you share this on Facebook, this may be your heart, and you may not, some, you know, well, I don't know the words to say or whatever, but this could be a tool that you can use to share with your friends and family. Say, hey, you know what, I love you and I want God's best for your life. Watch this for me, and I pray it'll be a blessing to their lives.